104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Sportless Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
Good morning and welcome into Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Well, it's a slow, drizzly day here in Middle Tennessee. As I was driving in, you know, the old slow rain I'd heard when I was a kid. I grew up in somewhat of a farming community. It was actually a mining town that I grew up in, but all around it was farming. My family, my mom and dad both came from, they were farmers, born at least to farmers, raised on a farm up in Kansas. Kind of reminded me, you know, the old slow drizzle there. That's the way that crops grow better. I've been told I've never grown a crop. I've never grown anything, as a matter of fact. But it reminded me of a teaching phrase that the late, great Don Meyer used to use. I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, but he wanted his players to learn basketball like a slow and steady rain, slow enough for the ground to absorb the water. And he taught and his players as slow and steady that his players could absorb his teaching. I always wished that I had, when I was coaching, I didn't meet Coach Meyer, get to know him very well until after I was coaching. I got out of coaching, but I wish I'd been able to use that. And that's one of the wise things. It is very, extremely outstanding coach, very smart man, super person also. It is, you know, when a hard, fast rain runs off real quickly. That's what teaching does. You got to go slow, steady, let them absorb it like the ground absorbs a good rain. Pretty good. Top coaches have learned this early, I think. Full show today. Everybody on board. Tony Barnhart, Charles Davis back with us. And, of course, Alan Cockrell at the bottom of the second hour. We'll be talking SEC baseball, kind of winding down now to the tournament. The last segment of the show today, I'm going to take a look into what's going on at the State University. Normally, I talk about UT situations on Big Orange Sunday. I'll not be doing the show tomorrow. Tate will be hosting a live show. But I want to take a look at what's going on up there overall, because it's kind of a symptom of a little bit of what's going on in other places. But certainly the State University here at the University of Tennessee, it's not just strictly for people who've gone to school there, who followed that school. It is the State University. And we'll be talking about that around 10:45. Last night, had the opportunity. This past week, it really pointed out to me again how important athletics are in young men's lives, and certainly has been extremely important in my life. Monday, had a little get together with some of the guys that I played with 50 years ago at Vanderbilt. We do that the last Monday of the month. Had a good visit there. And then last night, able to be out with 3 or 4 hours, spend some time at Stony River with some guys that I recruited out of West Tennessee, a Milan group. Five young men in a 10-year period came out of Milan and played at Tennessee. Every one of them played on a championship team up there. And good to see them and how they've grown, their families catch up with them. That's one of the great things about being a coach. Not only do you get an opportunity to watch young men get better athletically, hopefully they're also getting better as growing to be up to be men, and then talking about and seeing what their families are doing later. So great night last night with the Milan group, and certainly appreciated having the opportunity to rekindle some old memories and some friendships then. As I mentioned, Tony Barnhart, Charles Davis, Alan Cockrell will be with us. Let's start first, though, bring on our old buddy with a TWRA, Doug Markham. Doug, a neat little text you sent me about it's time to kind of get looking into registering those boats, and not only for fishermen, but also guys that aren't fishermen, just like to get out there like me. Time to get that done, and easy to do.
It is. You know, we talk all the time. It's just like it's always about the fishing and fishermen and hunters, but we do a lot of stuff for the folks who just like to get out and have a good time, and that includes making sure they have what they need out on the water, and you've got to register your boats in Tennessee. We don't have a titling law. We have a registration law, and it's been made easy, Coach. Just want to remind folks that they can go online or anywhere that sells hunting and fishing licenses, which is a lot of stores out there. You can stop by and get your boat registered.
Also, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Coach. Go ahead.
I know I've failed to do that a couple of different times. You can also do it at almost all of the marinas, can't you, where you're located?
You can do it at a lot of them. You can, and you can do it on your phone. We have an app now that makes it easy, or go straight to our website from your phone. But yeah, you can do it that, and you can register from 1 year to 3 years. I always register mine for 3 years, and the cost depends on the size of your boat. You got a yacht like you do, it costs more money. You've got a little aluminum boat like me, it's not all that much.
Well, mine costs so much, I do it year by year. I like to procrastinate. And there's been many times, let me tell you, when I took it out for the first time, I had to stop at the marina and get, the reason I know you can do it is because I've done it several times. So, anyway.
At least you thought about it, right? Because you got to have the letters on the side of your boat, and you got to have that number out there. And if it says 17 or lower, you're not ready to get on the water yet. But yeah, there's a lot of places. The marinas are certainly going to take care of you.
Doug, as always, certainly appreciate it, and let's talk next week. What do you say?
Okay, Coach. Have a good day. Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. TNWildlife.org. I say this all the time, and I mean it. It's a tremendous website to go to and find out all about what's going on from a hunting and fishing and water, everything going on in the state of Tennessee. When you are looking at your insurance, I don't know how you do it. I try at the end of every year to take a look at where my insurance is. Sometimes I get some quotes, sometimes I don't. Well, a couple of years ago, I talked to and got with Farm Bureau Health Plans for my health plans. You know, lots of different types of insurance. Farm Bureau Health, though, started 70 years ago, 1947, and really specialize in anything that has to do with health insurance. That includes all the F plans that Medicare has. I learned at that time that I didn't know this, that the only difference between any of the supplement plans, they're all exactly the same, with two exceptions. One is how much you pay. You're getting the same product no matter where you go. And that's one thing, how much you pay for your monthly premium. And secondly, the service you're going to receive. One of the things that I have liked about Farm Bureau Health is that all of their monthly claims, all claims are processed right here in Middle Tennessee. So if you're turning 65 or if you're already 65 and you want to take a look at some other things there, take a look at Farm Bureau Health at fbhealthplans.com.
Hey, football fans, it's Mike Keith, and I know how much energy you burn during a game. So right after the game, you need to refuel at your nearby Rafferty's. Rafferty's is the place to head for an after-game huddle with your crowd. It's where football fans are welcome for lunch or dinner, serve fresh, serve fast, serve friendly. Rafferty's menu is jam-packed with all your favorites. Steaks, prime rib, chicken, ribs, all delicious dishes in a generous size that can satisfy the appetite you've worked up. How about lunch before the game? Rafferty's again, with locations across Tennessee.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at clintnewmandds.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
Hey, this is Larry Thorne with Global Motorsports here in Middle Tennessee. I had a guy in the store the other day buying a car who's bought multiples of cars from us. He said, I'd never buy a car anywhere else, Larry. Nowhere can I go buy a car, be taken care of by one person, be in and out of the store in under 20 minutes once I make a decision. You're the dealership for those of us who don't like dealerships. Appreciate you guys being here. I can't imagine shopping anywhere else. With that, I would just say, check us out at Global Motorsports, Inc., for our two boutiques, one in Belmead and one in Cool Springs. Again, online at globalmotorsportsinc.com.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Stover's Liquidation has what you need for your spring home projects, inside or outside, with the biggest selection and best prices anywhere. Hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones in stock right now, all 10% off. And while supplies last, get a free 5x8 area rug for every 1,000 square feet of hardwood purchase. Glass, stone, and metal mosaics, all buy one, get one free. All shaker-style cabinets, 10% off. At Stover's in Cookeville, Antioch, or Knoxville, open 7 days a week, or online anytime at StoversLiquidation.com. Stover.
Serious injury, well, that is serious business. You've heard us talk about this many, many times. That's exactly what Cody Allison and Associates, that's the way they handle it. And right now, communicating with clients is at the top of their list. Always has been, but they're reemphasizing it now. You can expect, if you're a client of theirs, to get a return call the same day or early the next day. You don't have to wonder what's going on with your case. You simply pick up the phone, give Cody Allison and Associates a call, and they'll keep you up to date on that. Truck accident, auto accident, workers' comp. For two decades now, Cody Allison Associates have been taking care of these serious injuries very seriously. 615-234-6000. That's the phone number. Also, don't forget you can get them at CodyAllison.com.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tully Barnhart. Presented by Strauss Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strauss location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Later in the show, Charles Davis will join us. We're going to talk about the transfer proposal the American Football Coaches Association has put out there, their working group at least. Todd Berry and the group there will be talking about that, of course, in past shows and in future shows. We're going to be discussing the transfer rule, not the graduate transfer rule. That's already in place. This is a big topic, underlying topic that you don't hear talked about. But college football, at least college football, maybe the other sports too, but certainly college football seems to be moving more and more towards relaxing the transfer rule. We'll talk about that with Charles just a little bit later. Let's bring on, though, our good buddy, world traveler. I don't know where all he's been, but he's been many different places. Tony Barnhart. Tony, how are you? Good to have you back on the air.
Thanks, Doug. Yeah, it's been a good bit of traveling stuff going on. Had to go to a wedding in St. Simons and had to do something for my alma mater one night. And so one morning, missed you, but it's good to be back.
Had to go to St. Simons, and I like that terminology.
Yeah, but hey, it's a destination wedding, Coach. You got to do what you got to do.
Well, let's get a little catching up here on what's going on in college football, but certainly the Southeastern Conference. This time of year, Tony, we referred to it, or coaches referred to it. It's really a time when about anything that happens, normally it isn't real good. Not always, but certainly when it comes down to players, because there is no spring practice. You're trying to everybody's trying to get their academics handled. Some graduate, some getting in position, some getting eligible. Some wondering if they're going to have to go to summer school, have to go instead of being able to go. So that's kind of what this time of year is. But kind of interesting, this is also a time when coaches get paid for success. Pretty neat, some things going on out there. Kirby Smart kind of hit that as expected. I don't think a big surprise. He not only got a raise, he also got an extension, right?
Yeah. They kind of said, we like what you're doing, Kirby.
And not a surprise. Now, the Southeastern Conference now, four coaches, 7 million and over. Of course, Nick Saban, 11 million. I don't think anybody really arguing a whole bunch of that. Then Jimbo Fisher, 7.5. Then Kirby Smart, and then Gus Malzahn. This is going up and up and up every year. And, Tony, one thing that happens when the head coach's salary goes up, it also raises the boat, so to speak, of those assistant coaches. That pay going up also. Big money being spent now if you're a college football coach, particularly a Power Five school.
And Doug, if you're one of these schools, you people say, why do you pay that much? Because you have to. Given the amount of money that's in the sport now, and particularly in the Southeastern Conference, the Big Ten as well, you cannot, if you have a coach that you think is doing a great job, particularly in the coordinators now, you just can't let him go because of money. I mean, used to be the athletic director had a sort of a line in the sand and everybody understood, I can pay, but I'm not going to overpay for a coach, whoever defines overpay. But now there's a lot of reasons you can let a coach just walk out the door, but right now money is not one of them. And so that's why the salaries are what they are.
And Tony, I think even more so assistants now the top assistants. The Dave Aranda situation at LSU was a perfect example of that.
Exactly.
I mean, you're seeing
exactly
that now.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Think about what was going on at LSU at the time. They had already said goodbye to Matt Canada, and replaced him with Steve Ensminger, moved him up. You couldn't turn right around and lose Dave Aranda at the same time as defensive coordinator. So, yeah, the athletic director at LSU, Joe Oliva, was really pushed between a rock and a hard place. If he lets both of those guys go, the LSU people are going to go absolutely nuts. And Dave Aranda has done a good job there. So the coordinators have got really a ton of leverage right now.
Well, they really do. Now, it's one thing to lose a coordinator to a head coaching job. It's certainly a Power 5 head coaching job. It's another thing to lose a coordinator to another school just to be a coordinator. I say just to be a coordinator, a lateral move. And that's what you're seeing that these head coaches look at now. And that's kind of been a change. I would say in most instances there have been very, very few, up until the last few years, there have been very few times that a head coach has really, or an athletic department, athletic director, has really, gone over and above to keep an assistant. It has happened, but it doesn't happen much, hasn't happened much. We're starting to see a lot more of that now, and I think a lot of it has to do with the stability part of it. If you got a good thing going, if you got a top coach, and one of the reasons they do it, and I was talking to Coach Fulmer about this the other day, not only – okay, let's say you're going to raise a coordinator salary $250,000. In the long run, or even in the short run, you're going to probably spend about that much money getting another one in when you moving costs. All these universities, when a coach moves in, they move all their family there. Sometimes they have to do a few other things. So, essentially, you're probably being a good business person. By working to keep that coach, if you want to keep him. And, of course, that's the head coach's call on that.
Right. And when you talk about the head coaches involved, the same deal sort of applies. I mean, that's why you get these seven-year contracts. And, who knows if they'll see the end of that contract, but you just can't. Well, let's put it this way. If Georgia had not given, lost their mind and not given Kirby Smart a dramatic bump, you think anybody would have gone after him in the future? Sure. You know that's going to happen. Same thing with Gus Malzahn. I mean, Gus Malzahn got a seven-year deal for $49 million, and everybody's going, what's that about? Well, guess what? The president at Auburn had just watched what some other people had gone through in coaching searches and said, guess what? We don't want to go through that. We got to lock this guy up. And the coaches right now, Doug, at more so than any time in my memory, have more leverage than they've ever had before because the money is there. You can no longer, particularly in the SEC, you can't cry, well, we don't have the money, because you know what? You got the money.
Well, one thing, too, that coaches certainly have leverage. Successful coaches have a good bit of leverage. But part of when these negotiations are going on also, and important to remember this, it's not coaching has changed so much in the last 30 years. Everybody now has agents. Assistant coaches have agents that work for them, representatives. So they don't do any of the negotiating at all. Certainly they're kept up to date on it. So you have people like Jimmy Sexton who are excellent. That's their job. That's their profession. That's what they do. That's what they do well. That is negotiating a lot of times, quite frankly, with athletic directors that probably – aren't near up to the same speed and height where these agents are. I've contended for many years, agents, the coaching, the head coaches and the assistant coaches, their agents have been getting the best of these athletic directors for years and years and years. That's why you see the salaries where they are. It's not the only reason. But it's one big reason. It's because simply that the agents are doing a better job of negotiating than the athletic directors are. And, Tony, one part of that is exactly what you said. When you see, let's take Tennessee for an example. When you see what's happened in the last two or three, not, well, even this last one, two or three coaching searches for football, you understand why athletic directors say, hey, let's, if we got a good guy here, let's do everything we can to keep him, because when they see that happening, that hurts your credibility, I think, everywhere. It certainly for the University of Tennessee, it has.
Right, no doubt. Well, think about this. People wondered about, you know, we talked about the Gus Malzahn contract. You don't think that Jimmy Sexton picked up the phone and when he heard from Arkansas and the Arkansas job is open? You don't think a conversation took place, said, you know, Arkansas wants my guy? And the agent definitely has just about all the leverage now, because A, the money is there, and B, if you let a coach go for money basically a lateral move or, you know, another move within the conference, the athletic director would never hear the end of that.
And of course, in past days, you would never see that, but that changed. The landscape completely has changed there. It's a couple of things on it. I always like to see this. We're talking about Kirby Smart. All right, Kirby Smart got the job, and anytime a coach gets a job, obviously somebody loses a job. Pretty neat here, though, Tony. And listen, I don't know a single person who knows Mark Richt that doesn't just think the world of him personally. Forget about what they think about his coaching ability. But pretty neat. Not only is Kirby Smart come out on top on this, so is Mark Richt. It's really been a great move for both of them, hasn't it?
It really has. And Mark Richt, of course, Miami is Coach Richt's alma mater. And, you know, a lot of us thought he might sit out a year when he got let go at Georgia, but the Miami job came open. And in 2 years, he's 19-7. He got him to the ACC championship last year in his second year. And they are doing well. He got a brand new contract through 2023. Miami's a private school, so they don't release the numbers. But yeah, it was, I think the best thing you can say about that, it was good for both schools. Georgia has obviously been re-energized with Kirby Smart and the incredible run that they made at Georgia last year. By the same token, Miami had never played in the ACC championship game before Mark Richt got there. So they've sort of re-energized that program. Sometimes change is good, and as it turned out, change for both schools has been good.
Tony, we seemingly talk about this every year, but you would think there has to be a ceiling somewhere on head coaches' salaries. It doesn't. I mean, every year we see them going higher and higher and higher. With that, though, comes another thing that's going on, another item and concern that's going on in college athletics now, is the more money that is there overall, the more money that is being paid to coaches, that brings back in the pay for players. And again, that's being heated up again this year. And, you know, I think most people listening to this show kind of know my stand on that. I'm a firm believer that one of the things that's never discussed in that is the educational part of it. I mean, you are getting an education, and depending on what school you're going to, it's a many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands in some instances of education. Set that aside. I understand that that's, you know, maybe not a strong talking point. Should be. But the fact of the matter is, it's a little bit hard, getting a little bit harder to defend not, whatever you want to call it, paying players bigger stuff. You know, they've already got the cost of tuition, cost of going to school in there now. But you're going to see more and more and more of a push on that. And then the other item is you're going to see, hey, if a coach is making this money, if he can leave at any time, a player should be able to figure in both those two. And I think that's going to be the big discussion in college athletics. Already is a little bit. I think it's going to be heated up a little bit now.
I don't think there's any question about it, Doug. I mean, here's ultimately what the issue is. I don't think anybody believes that the athletes and the coaches, that their lives are going to, you know, their lives and their mobility and all that are going to be equal, or what they get out of the sport from a financial standpoint are ever going to be equal. But the gap, I mean, the gap between what the athlete gets and the coach has grown, the coaches has grown so wide. You know, back when you were coaching, Doug, the gap between what the scholarship was worth and the education was worth and what the coaches actually made was not all that outrageous, all right? Because coaches, you know, assistant coaches weren't making all that much money. Now, with assistants, with the coordinators making $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, and frontline assistant coaches, position coaches making $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, all of a sudden the gap between the student athlete and the, what the coaches are actually taking home is enormous. And the players see that. And, you know, the transfer rules are stacked in favor of the school. And that's why you, I heard you lead in talking about with Charles Davis, some of the proposals for transfer rules. That's just another way that they're trying to make the situation a little more fair. All right. And that's why they got to come up with ways, more and more ways to get resources to the players and their families and do more for them. That's why you're building all these great facilities, that in recruiting. It's just that none of us ever knew or thought the gap between what the coaches make and what the athlete gets would ever be this wide. And it's huge.
Well, here's the situation. I hesitate to call it a problem, but here's the situation. With both the transfer and the stipend, the cost of living, the payment to players, here's the problem that does not get enough coverage, in my opinion, Tony. The problem, or the situation is it's just like the transfer rule. I think almost, and the new transfer rule, we're not going to get into it right now, but just to kind of let everybody know what we're talking about here, the football coaches, American football coaches, again, football coaches association has put together this proposal that if a young man transfers to make the change in it, yes, he will still have to sit out a year, but if and when he graduates from that school, he gets that year back. I think that's a decent proposal. The football coaches, now that doesn't say that it won't eventually pass. The football coaches are never going to be for letting a young man transfer and be eligible immediately. They're never going to be for that. But the problem in both the stipend, the payment of players, and the transfer is this. There's only one sport that can handle that financially and otherwise, possibly too with men's basketball. The rest of the sports can't handle that. So while the football coaches are on board, or their association at least is, and I think the great majority of them will be on board for this transfer rule, while the football coaches and programs are on board on paying more money to players, stipends for them to play, it's somewhere between $3,000 and $5,000 in almost every school now, the other sports are not able to do that. And so the athletic department as a whole, because of the Title IX, where you have to pay, you know, whatever, if you got 16 sports and 400 scholarship people on scholarship, that 400th person has to get the same thing that that number one person has to get. So that's a holdback on this. And I don't think, and I think you're going to see the college football coaches come out more with this. It's not college football that's holding this back, either one of these things. It's the overall athletic program that does not have the funds to be able to do all of these things. That's what's really holding the payment of players back.
There's no doubt. And, Doug, that's why one of the next big battles in this situation is allowing the players to benefit from their name, images, and likenesses. Because that is something that would be generated by the free market. They said, okay, if the volleyball player can get an endorsement deal, great. Okay. But it would not, the school wouldn't have to be involved in terms of that issue. The market would determine whether or not these athletes could get endorsement deals and things of that nature, sort of along the line of the Olympic market. Because you can't give everybody the same, because the other sports can't handle it, they say, okay, let's go to something where we don't have to guarantee the income. In other words, the athlete would be able to whatever they could generate in terms of endorsements and things of that nature, that would be up to them. That's what the Ed O'Bannon case was all about. And that will be continued to be fought. And I think at some point, I don't know, Doug, if we'll still be around when it happens or doing this, but I think eventually the athletes are going to get that, because you know what? They're sitting around in a room. The people who run college athletics are sitting around the room going, hey, we have got to give them something. Okay. We can't, you know, we've given them this, but we got to keep giving them. If we're going to keep paying these coaches $7, $8, $9 million a year, we have got to give something to the athletes.
How you
more
do
than
it,
what they already have.
How you do it and the way you do it, that's the sticking point right now. It's really not. Again, I'm speaking from a college football perspective, not a college athletics, but from a college football perspective, there is a willingness to do those things to be able to get more money to these players. But it's how you do it. One of the things you just mentioned, the Ed O'Bannon case, was essentially that once a player leaves a university, you can't use his likeness. That was, or if you do, you have to pay
right.
for it. That was, but you know, while he's still in school, that's one thing else. I think one of the areas that I think is going to be that's really going to be scrutinized, is starting to be scrutinized right now, primarily because of what's happening in basketball, are these shoe and apparel companies, the money that they put in programs.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you would do from a likeness standpoint would probably have to go through one of those shoe and apparel companies. How that's going to be structured, I don't know. How many sports are going to do it, I don't know. I think you're probably right that the way they'll get around it is the athletic departments and the universities will be simply, hey, it's an individual deal. Like you said, if you're a volleyball mm-hmm. player, if you're a swimmer, if you're a softball player, if you're a baseball player, if you can get an endorsement within reason and they'll put restrictions on it, they're probably going to go that way. And I think that is down the road. I don't know how far. More with Tony here in just a second. As we go to break, let me talk to you about Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Hey, when was the last time you did something really fun, that was really fun, with family and friends, maybe even your coworkers? How about a reunion coming up? Maybe any type of fundraising activity, corporate parties, even birthday parties. That's where Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, all of them, can help you because they have great fun there. Bowling, games, food, drink, entertainment for all ages. They're open 7 days a week, including holidays at all their locations. They have five of them right here in Middle Tennessee. And as they like to say, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Go to their Facebook page, go online and find out all about them at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
Hi, folks. Dennis Siner here. I would like to introduce you to our family-owned and operated insurance agency, Dennis Siner Insurance. We've been providing our clients the most superior insurance products for their homes, autos, businesses, and life insurance needs since 1998. We are backed by a company known in the industry for their financial strength and superior service, Erie Insurance Group. Let Dennis Siner Insurance offer you the best insurance products, personalized service, for the most competitive price. Please visit us at DSIAgency.net.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Locally owned for over 20 years, Franklin American Mortgage Company has grown from humble roots to become one of the largest mortgage lenders in the nation. But they've never gotten too big to give back to the communities that have given them so much. They're proud to support numerous national and regional charities, as well as youth, collegiate, and professional sports in the Nashville area. Their values aren't only in their great rates and unparalleled service, they're in everything they do. Franklin American Mortgage. It all begins with home. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1599.
Now, Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Tony will be on with us through the first segment of the second hour, then Charles Davis after that. Again, we're going to kind of Now, kind of, we're going to get into the transfer proposal of Charles. Very interesting on exactly how that will work. And then Alan Cockrell at the bottom of the hour will be talking NCAA and SEC baseball, things winding down now. And then the last segment, I'll take a look at what's going on up at the State University, not athletically, but from the academic standpoint. Just real quickly on that, think about this. I'll kind of give you a little preview of what I'll be talking about. The end of this year, the governor will be out of office. Of course, he's the head of the UT system. The president will be retiring. The chancellor was fired this past week, and the provost, there's been an interim there for the last 2 years. So the top four academic positions at the University of Tennessee will not be there anymore. So we'll be talking about that just a little bit later. It won't be there as at the end of the year. So Tennessee University, the university system, facing some change right now. Again, we'll talk about that the last segment. Tony, you finished up your spring tour. I know you didn't have an opportunity to get everywhere like you'd planned. But let's talk a little bit about the ones that you saw. I know you let's get to Florida. Quarterback, any closer to finding the starter right now? And A, are they? Or B, if they are, they say anything about it? Are they saying who it is?
I don't think they are. I don't think they're keeping it a secret. I don't think they are. And, you know, the two guys that are, you know, most involved, Felipe Franks, who started a number of games for them last year. Kyle Trask is a more traditional drop-back passer who they brought into the program, quite honestly, when they were looking at somebody else, but he's got sort of the intangibles. They have a true freshman, Emory Jones. I've talked to people who've been to practice. That young man may end up playing for Florida. He's not ready now. So, you know, I think ultimately, just from sitting down, Dan Mullen and I had a long visit, and he understands what's going to have to happen. The quarterbacks will play better, I believe. I think Mullen's pretty good at coaching those guys up, but Florida's got a lot of work to do.
Well, there is no secret why Dan Mullen was brought in. He was brought in to fix,
yes,
to get that offense back to where it certainly close to where it has been, if not better than it's been. And Tony, you talk to any coach in the Eastern Division, and certainly LSU will tell you the same thing. The last 5 or 6 years, the play at wide receiver and quarterback at Florida has been astoundingly bad. Not very good, just bad. They haven't had, and I'm not disparaging any young man, they haven't had a decent quarterback there. Good gosh, 5, 6 years, and the one they did has playing at West Virginia now.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when I would sit down and talk to Florida, and I talked to other coaches in the conference about Florida, and one who I respect a lot said, Tony, go back and take a real good look, obviously, about the quarterback and the wide receivers. There's no Ike Hilliards or Riedel Anthonys or Jacquez Greens or any of those guys. And, you know, other receivers they've got had gotten into trouble. So that's been an issue. They simply haven't had the talent. And the same thing with the quarterback position. You know, they signed during that stretch with Will Muschamp. They signed Jeff Driscoll, was a kid down there that everybody wanted. He didn't pan out. He leaves as a graduate transfer, goes to Louisiana Tech under Skip Holtz and throws for 4,000 yards in a season. Okay. So they haven't been all that talented and they haven't been very well coached. And that's the truth. And the one thing we know about Mullen is he knows how to recruit quarterbacks and he knows how to develop quarterbacks, and he will develop one at Florida. I'm just not sure that guy is on the roster right now.
Also, South Carolina, I know you were there for a different function on that, but I know you talked a little football while you were there. Also, just looking at the Eastern Division, you've got the Gamecocks up there pretty high going into the season, don't you?
I do, and when I'm done with all of my spring columns, I'm going to sit down and project the SEC for the fall. And right now, I've got South Carolina at two. I mean, with all the questions at Florida, with all the questions at Tennessee, obviously everybody's going to pick Georgia. I think Georgia's going to be good enough to win the East again. But you look at South Carolina with a veteran quarterback in Jake Bentley. Their very best player, Debo Samuel, got hurt early, and he was playing a wide receiver. He was playing kick returner. He was playing as good as anybody in the country when he got hurt. He is back. They are deep at receiver. They feel pretty good about the offensive line, and they feel they're going to be better on the defensive side of the ball. They play Georgia, by the way, second game, September 8th in Columbia, which is a good time to play Georgia. So right now, if I had to pick it today, I'd have Georgia 1 and South Carolina 2.
East not looking particularly strong right now, but, of course, some of that could change. Mississippi State, I know you're there also. You're just reading and listening to what you say. You're very impressed with Moorhead. Why so?
He is a straight shooter. He's got a certain wit about him. And he told me, he said, I looked at this roster, and there were other opportunities. He jumped at this chance because of the he thought it would be a good fit for him. He said there's some similarities between Starkville and State College, and he liked those. But think about this, Doug. Mississippi State's got 19 scholarship seniors on this team. That's pretty unusual in this day and time. And defensively, they're going to be pretty good up front. And so I like them. I wouldn't pick them second, but I would certainly think about picking them third behind Alabama and Auburn in that division.
You know, I don't know the exact reason why Mississippi State hired Moorhead, but you look at the offense that he ran the last couple of years, at least at Penn State. Very, very similar. A quarterback who didn't run the quarterback quite as much, but I'm not sure the quarterback they had, his name escapes me right now, at Penn State was an excellent runner. Kind of thought around the league is right now that probably Mississippi State won't run Fitzgerald as much, at least going into the season, as Dan Mullen did. Of course, remember this now. Dan Mullen runs his quarterbacks a lot, every place he's been, even all the way back to Alex Smith out in Utah. Obviously, Tim Tebow was another example of that. So that's kind of a bedrock of his offense. Maybe Moorhead not quite so much.
Yeah, he told me flat out that they didn't think they were going to run him quite as much. I mean, he did an incredible job at Penn State. Remember, James Franklin struggled his first 2 years at Penn State, 7-6, 7-6. The offense was averaging 330 yards a game and something like that. He brings in Joe Moorhead, who Joe Moorhead was at Fordham. He inherited a 1-10 team. And he took them to three straight appearances in the FCS playoffs. And so he did a great job there. Immediate improvement in the offense, 34 points a game 2 years ago, 41 points a game last year. Obviously, with Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley, that helps when you got those kind of difference makers. But people are very excited about Joe Moorhead. He kind of gets it. He gets what Starkville's all about.
Surprise hire by a lot of people around the league, and I got to admit, I didn't know a whole lot about him, but after he got the job kind of digging in, he's a lot of people impressed with the way that he coaches. You mentioned Fordham grad. You had a kind of cute little story on his background, and then the one thing, and this will kind of point this up, I say this tongue-in-cheek for anybody listening out there, you said there's not much difference between State College and Starkville. I think there's probably a little bit more, maybe than he thought originally going in, but kind of hit the little story you told me about that.
We were talking, and I mentioned that I'd seen a previous interview. He was asked about pressure. He said, "Well, you know, there's two things you can do with pressure." He said, "You can either absorb it or you can apply it." And he said, "And we're fixing to apply it down here." And I said, I said, "Coach, I'm very impressed that a graduate of Fordham picked up on the Southern saying fixing to." He said, "Well, not only a Fordham graduate, but a Fordham English major." And I thought that was pretty good. He kind of gets what the media aspect of this thing is all about. Very, very, very upbeat kind of guy.
Pretty good football coach associated with Fordham that the NFL Super Bowl championship's named after. So maybe he'll get a little something.
Yeah, that Lombardi guy turned out all right.
He wasn't bad. Offensive guy, too, by the way. Although he
A lot of people don't know he was an outstanding defensive coach too, but Vince Lombardi kind of known more for his offense. All right, more with Tony here in just a second. Delta Dental, hey, a great smile makes a great impression. We know that. But you know what's going on behind that smile is much more important to your mouth simply because of the warning signs that a simple dental exam can help you find. Over 120 signs and symptoms of diseases, they can be found just by a simple dental exam. That's where Delta Dental comes in. Individual plans. If you're working somewhere or have the ability to have a plan provided you, excellent. But if not, individual plans. About 5 or 6 years ago, when I got out of the business that I owned, and of course, before that, universities that paid for dental insurance, I needed an individual plan for me and my wife. Found that with Delta Dental of Tennessee. Went through all of their website, looked at the myriad of plans, found the right one for me at a very affordable rate. Most all of them have a couple of free cleanings and free exams as provided. And of course, you get excellent discounts. The insurance will pay for much if you need work done on it. So again, that depends on the plan. CoverYourMouth.com or DeltaDentalTN.com. Either one of those. CoverYourMouth.com. Find out what's going on behind that smile that you have.
I love my community. And as a doting dad.
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
Boating, fishing, visiting all at beautiful Dale Hollow Lake. Willow Grove Marina, that's the place to go. It's a full-service marina. Everything that you would possibly need. Rental boats and pontoons, shoreline cabins, 1, 2, 3, even 4-bedroom. Fishermen? Well, it's the best fishing lake in the state of Tennessee, bar none. Food, snack bar, Saturday night entertainment, lots of family fun. The website, all the complete information there, willowgrove.biz. Willowgrove.biz for Willow Grove Marina.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Our customers know that Mid-South Business Furniture is the office furniture expert in Middle Tennessee. But did you know that we are also an experienced office design firm as well? Our office design staff will amaze you. We can also meet your office supply needs with next day delivery. Our online ordering is quick and easy. Give us a call at 297-5654 or visit our website at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. Mid-South Business Furniture. Fun jingle, serious business.
Mid-South Business Furniture.
Now, Forklift System Sports Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Tony, be on one more segment with us this hour, and then one segment at in the second hour. And in the second hour, we're going to talk about, after his tour, the impressions of, well, where the programs are right now, especially the new coaches, but other programs also. Then Charles Davis will be after that. We're going to talk with Charles again about the transfer rule. Alan Cockrell will be with us at the bottom of the next hour. And then the last segment, I'll be taking a look at what's going on up at the University of Tennessee, not athletically, but academically overall. Tony, a couple of notes here. Let's kind of take a look at couple of things. First off, Georgia Clemson. I don't know if they were ever. You're the guy that would know this. I don't know if they had a consistent home and home. I know there oftentimes they did, but Dabo Swinney comes out and he's kind of really pushing the idea of Georgia playing Clemson again. A little bit of surprise from this standpoint, to me, from a coaching perspective, number one, both Georgia and Clemson have an in-state rival that they play. Of course, they got their conference games and then an in-state rival that they play. Was that surprising to you?
It was surprising to me that he would bring it up. But then again, Dabo recruits Georgia really, really hard and would probably like that opportunity. And, you know, they played – Clemson and Georgia played – almost every year from 1962 to 1987. They played, you know, the schools are only 87 miles apart, and the fans have really loved it. There have been some classic games between those two. And for example, there was a game in 1982. Georgia won the national championship in 1980. Clemson won it in 1981, and then they met to open the season in 1982. That was an incredible game. The whole issue with Georgia and Clemson, they almost played every year, but when the SEC went to divisional play and expanded and went to eight conference games, Vince Dooley was the athletic director, and they said, you know, we have to play South Carolina because it's a conference game, and so something's, and we play Georgia Tech, so something's got to go. And so they still play, but they didn't play nearly as often. And they're going to get – the athletic directors have both said they are working on getting a home-and-home right now, squeeze in, you know, somewhere down the road.
So I know that
it's going to happen, but I don't think they'll ever be back to where they play every year.
Well, I know this is a topic in a lot of schools around the Southeastern Conference. There are several schools, Tennessee being one of them, that are looking at what they're going to do for future opponents, top opponents. The bugaboo, that thing that's holding it up now is whether the Southeastern Conference is going to go to nine conference games. And I would think, from Georgia's viewpoint, if this conference goes to nine conference games, throw Georgia Tech in there, that's the 10th. Do you want one of your other two teams to be a national power like Clemson every year? My guess is they probably are not going to do that. Speaking of that, the nine conference games, I was talking to Philip Fulmer, after he was the athletic director, been to a couple of meetings, and he didn't really come out and say anything one way or the other. But there certainly is a good amount of talk at the athletic director's level and president's level of going to nine conference games, isn't there, Tony?
No, yeah, absolutely, and there's several reasons why. One is, Doug, look, things change, and I'm telling you, I talk to more and more football fans and football ticket holders now who are just throwing up their hands going, you know, I am simply not going to invest the amount of money I have to invest to watch my team play a cupcake. You know, you do one, okay, fine, but two or three, I said, I'm just not going to do it. And I have talked to people who have been big supporters who have decided, you know what, I will go on the secondary ticket market and overpay to watch the games I want to watch. But I am not going to pay those kind of prices and invest that much time and money into watching my team play. I don't want to insult anybody, but cupcake you. And so I think the athletic directors are getting this feedback from their constituents. And they said, guys, we got to play nine conference games. And then if you got a rival like Georgia has with Georgia Tech, you're going to play them. But, you know, we just can't keep doing this because attendance, you know, it's dropping a little bit, and more people are just not going to put up with it.
A couple of things on that, and I got most of this again from Philip, but I'm sure other athletic directors would say basically the same thing. I know Tennessee, from his viewpoint, going to really take a close look and probably do less and less of the neutral site games because of two big reasons. And kind of interesting to me that from his perspective on this. But again, I think most athletic directors around the league are doing the same thing. Number one, when you take a home game, and let's just use Tennessee as an example, we could use any of the other SEC schools, that's $5 million. That's what they make or bring in on a game. And the other part of it is the local economy suffers. When you take one of those potentially eight home games and just have seven or in some instances six, now you're talking about the local economy. Certainly people who are from that area, like Philip is from Knoxville, that means a little something. The other part of it I think you're going to see is, and again, there's always going to be those neutral site games simply from a recruiting standpoint. I think you're going to see more of the SEC schools, depending on where they are. Arkansas, Texas, LSU, they may play in Houston or Dallas because that's fertile recruiting area for them. You know, South Carolina, Tennessee, they don't go to Texas a whole lot. They'll go down there, but not a whole lot. Atlanta is a recruiting destination for almost anybody. Well, who's going to go to Atlanta most years in this league right now, Tony? Alabama's going to go from the Southeastern Conference. How many times has Nick been there? Five times, I think, four or five times in his time there. So you're going to see that. And then, let me tell you what else I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see, as because of exactly what you said, I really believe that a lot of these universities behind the scenes are looking at this. They're going to have their donor area where you got to play big bucks, the sky boxes, the terrace seats, the chair back, the undercover, where you can get in and out and have food accessible to you. They're going to have those, and they're going to charge big money for that. But I think you're going to see a lot more of the even lower bowl seats where they're not going to demand X amount of dollars up front. In other words, you got to pay $1,000 to be able a donor to be able to get tickets. I think you're going to see that ticket price go down a little bit. Not many people agree with me on that, but I think you're going to see it because you're going to see more and more schools lose fans, just like you said, coming to ball games.
No, I don't think there's any doubt about it. They've got to get real on some of these ticket prices. And, I had a chance to be in, this event that I did in Columbia on Thursday night was at this everybody's got one, this beautiful suite, where people can sit there and eat and drink and all that kind of stuff. And then go out and sit in the club level seats. It's beautiful. Every school has just about got one of those and you got to pay big bucks. But what people are telling me is that, you know, we got to do something for the rank and file fan. We got to lower the ticket prices. And it's funny, Doug, we just assume that fans are going to pay it. But when I wrote some things about attendance going slightly down, almost everybody who responded to me on that, he said, Tony, I'm telling you, it's the cupcakes, but it's also the ticket prices. The ticket prices are too high. And I think as we move forward, they're going to get people to pay for the premium seating and the amenities and all that. But for the rank and file fan, the ticket prices need to come down.
Well, that's why probably we're going to see a ninth game. And then the question is, when you had that ninth conference game, what do you do with the traditional crossover games, the Auburn, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, so on and so forth? What do you do with those? And, it's hard for me to see how you're going to be able to keep those and also play nine games. It can be done, but, I don't think you're going to be able to keep those. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, quite frankly. I've always liked the traditional game, but I understand, they outlive their usefulness sometimes.
Yeah, that will be a big old argument, because I can tell you right now, Georgia and Auburn will fight that to the very end. Doesn't mean they'll prevail, but the Georgia-Auburn game, the first longest continuous rivalry in the South. And the thing about it is, and Nick Saban has made this point, that if you go to nine conference games, you could rotate through the other division much, much quicker, and you would guarantee that if a player stayed at school 4 years, he would get to play every single team in the SEC before he was done.
Yeah, a lot of good proposals out there. We'll keep up with those. Top of the hour break. More with Tony when we come back. Charles Davis. And at the bottom of the hour, Alan Cock. We'll be taking a little SEC and NCAA baseball. Stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
Brad Wilkinson, Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply, on the line with us this morning. Brad, people think about Dickens and think about seed and feed and a lot of other things, but you guys also are one of the best dealers around when it comes to equipment.
That's exactly right, JT. Equipment is a big part of our business. You know, commercial guys out here who are depending on good, strong, solid equipment that's going to help them make their living each and every day at Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. That's what we specialize in. We've got the parts, the belts, the blades, the filters, everything to take care of you after the sale. On the two-cycle side, Echo, Red Max, and Shindawa, any and everything that you're going to need equipment-wise for that lawn and landscape, Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply is your one-stop shop. And they have extended the Toro Dealer Days, JT, at Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply through May the 10th. You can get up to $100 off select walk-behind mowers, up to $300 off instantly on select zero-turn mowers. Come by Dickens Turf and Landscape Supply. Ask us about the Toro Dealer Days. We're open till noon today. We are easy to find in Cool Springs, Murfreesboro, Nashville, Bellevue, Hendersonville, Knoxville, Mount Juliet, Brentwood Lawnmower, at Dickens Turf on Twitter. We've got a Facebook page, and as always, JT, you can check us out online at DickensSupply.com.
Hi, folks. This is Herb Berry, owner of Berry's Jewelry Company in historic downtown Madison. You know, engagement and anniversary season is here, and if you're thinking of popping the question this year, Berry's Jewelry Company has the answer. At Berry's, we feature a tremendous selection of quality diamond engagement rings and bridal sets, often up to 50% less than other retail jewelers. So if you have a big anniversary coming up, please stop by to check out the selection of exquisite diamond earrings, diamond bracelets, diamond anniversary rings, or even an upgrade for her current bridal set. Berry's carries a huge selection of ring settings, and you can even select your own center diamond. Thrill her with the best from Berry's, and do your budget a favor. Don't pay retail. So come on over to Berry's and see for yourself what clients for many years have discovered. Berry's Jewelry Company, for quality, value, selection, and service. You just can't do better than Berry's. Visit us today in Madison at berriesjewelryco.com or Facebook.
104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
Tony Barnhart with us one more segment. By the way, you can read all of Tony's articles, all of his columns, at tmgcollegesports.com. tmgcollegesports.com. The podcast of this show will be up. Jimmy Harper will have it up here in about an hour or so at coachdougmatthews.com. Brand new website. Kind of check it out. We're going to be doing some interactive things with that as we go through next season. Real quickly, Tony, before we look at the team, Jason Witten, 15 years as a Dallas Cowboy. It's a career of a young man that when you get to know him, just the way he was brought up, I think everybody's probably seen that. Had a pretty tough life growing up. Got high school coach. Really was very instrumental. Went to the University of Tennessee, of course, was an outstanding player there. And then 15 years and probably going to be a Hall of Fame career when that's all said and done.
No, you were so impressed with him when he was at Tennessee. But to play 15 years in the league, 15 years with the Dallas Cowboys, that incredibly impressive. And got a nice little parting gift from Jerry Jones as he walked out the door. So.
A diamond football, literally, honored on that. So,
well, yeah. I think Jerry Jones turned to Jason's wife and said, "Hey, they're real now." And I said, "Okay, here you go."
No rhinestones there, right? The old rhinestone cowboy, maybe. All right, let's. I want to get some impression from you here in the next 10 minutes we have here after your tour is over right now. Tony, first off, give me impressions of three new coaches, and I'm not going to count Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen, yes, he's new at Florida, but he's certainly not a new coach in this league.
Right.
Pruitt, Moorhead, Morris, all new coaches, different paths of getting there. One a defensive coordinator, one an offensive coordinator, one a head coach that is an offensive mind. Programs really who State has not struggled nearly. Well, State was 4-4 last year. That's a very stable program there. But certainly Arkansas and Tennessee, they are record-wise as low as you can get in this league right now. What do you see about those three? Any common threads with any of them?
Well, I think the common thread is personnel and this sort of a lack of talent. I think now Moorhead, that is not the case with Moorhead. The Moorhead, he by far inherits the most talent on his roster. When you look at Nick Fitzgerald, you look at the guys they've got coming back on defense. I think they've got a chance.
19 again, seniors, to be you mentioned, pretty good. Right?
Yeah, 19. Who has 19 scholarship seniors anymore? I think the guy with the toughest job in the short term right now, I don't think there's any question, is Chad Morris at Arkansas. Because, quite honestly, everybody knows what Chad Morris likes to do offensively. He likes to go fast. You remember that he was at Clemson with Taj Boyd, and they did a great job there, helped recruit Deshaun Watson to Clemson. Fact of the matter, Doug, they don't have the players to run the offense he wants to run. You know, they've got a left tackle playing quarterback, and so it's just going to be difficult for them in the short term. They hired him because of his ties to the high school coaches in Texas. He's got to go recruiting. They struggled in recruiting in his first year. Jeremy Pruitt, I've told a lot of people this. I think Jeremy Pruitt has an edge about him, and some people like it and some people don't, and that's the way it's always been for Coach Pruitt. But I think he has an edge about him that, frankly, Tennessee needs. I think Tennessee needs to play with a little more sense of urgency and very much more physical, and I think that will be the case. But again, they've got to get a lot of things settled from a personnel standpoint, and I think Tennessee will recruit well with Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach. So, I'm expecting Mississippi State to have a good year. I'm expecting Tennessee to be somewhere in the 6-6, 7-5 range, and I expect Mississippi State to win 8 or 9 or 10 football games.
You can't win at Arkansas if you don't recruit Texas. Period. There's not enough players in Arkansas, yep, and Oklahoma and Missouri, and they're going to get good players out of those areas. But you simply must recruit Texas, and that's been one of the changes when Arkansas moved to the Southeastern Conference. They did away with 3 or 4 games in every year in Texas. Rice, some of the other schools there, and certainly Texas Tech, those schools, the Texas schools. That's really the big challenge for Coach Morris, Chad Morris at Arkansas. I agree with you on the difficulty. The other thing that makes it more difficult, they were 1-7 last year, Tennessee 0-8, but we know, and still this year, although I think the gap's going to be narrowed, the West is still a stronger top to bottom division than the East is. We know that. Let's just kind of hit some of these. Kind of interesting me. This is one of the things that when you really start looking at last year and trying to find positives and also identify the negatives, there were 3 teams in the league last year that were either 1-7 or 0-8. Tennessee was 0-8. Vandy was 1-7. Arkansas was 1-7. Then Florida was 3-5, and Ole Miss was 3-5. But the other 9 teams in this league were .500 or better in the league. So I personally have seen this league get stronger from top to bottom. Maybe the top not quite as good, although it's hard to argue after last year when you had 2 teams playing the SEC. But certainly the lower half of this league, I think, has gotten better. You look at, anytime you have a 14-team league, you're going to have some teams in there that don't have winning records in the league. So overall, this league, I believe, has gotten better top to bottom. Kind of give me, all right, see if you agree with me on this. Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, all 7-1 last year. Auburn, of course, the odd man out there, but they beat both Alabama and Georgia in the regular season. Any reason to think, Tony, that those won't be the 3 best teams personnel-wise, coaching-wise, as far as stability in starting off the season? Any reason to think that they won't be the top 3 right now?
No, they will absolutely be the top 3 from a coaching standpoint, from a talent standpoint. I had a real good visit to Auburn. I think they're going to be better, quite honestly. Coach Steele and I sat down for about an hour and talked about stuff, and I just think they're going to be even better defensively, and obviously they've got a proven quarterback. Same thing for Georgia. Georgia will win the East, Doug. They won't be as good as they were a year ago because that team was a very, very good football team that had the right combination of seniors and talent and quarterback play, and everything sort of fell into place for Georgia last year. But they'll still be the best team in the East, and Alabama's going to reach 12 guys taken in the NFL draft. Are you kidding me? But you know what? The guys they replace them with are going to be very, very talented. So, yep, to me, those are the 3 teams as we go into the year that are going to probably decide this thing.
Kind of interesting to me, too, and although the athletic director has not told me this, I have a strong feeling and belief that the 3 final the three finalists for the job at Tennessee were coordinators at where? Alabama, Georgia, Auburn. Of course, the Alabama one got on that. All right, let's look at these other schools and kind of hit me here. Teams that have certainly we've seen the last couple of years make a noticeable jump. South Carolina and Kentucky. South Carolina 5-3, Kentucky 4-4, Mississippi State was 4-4 also in there. And Missouri, can they? Where do you see? Do you see those schools improving record wise? A little bit better, maybe take the step back. Those are three to me, four to me, interesting schools, particularly South Carolina.
South Carolina, for sure. South Carolina feels very good about where they are. I sat down with Will Muschamp, and the only thing that really concerns him is depth on the offensive and defensive lines, and you could say that just about almost every school in the conference. Kentucky, Doug, was really – they finished 7-6, but they were disappointed with 7-6 because there were opportunities that they let. Obviously, the Florida game mm-hmm. was one they gave away, and that game still haunts them. Now, they're going to have a new quarterback. Miller, I believe his name is he is a transfer, started at Oregon, JUCO transfer, started at Oregon. They think a lot about him, and he'll be battling with a kid named Gunnar Hoke, who's been in the program. The key, of course, is Benny Snell. Benny Snell was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. He's had two straight 1,000-yard season. Is certainly one of the better backs in the SEC. He carried the ball way too many times last year, and they've got to get him some help. So I think Kentucky's in a pretty good situation right now. Going to be interesting. They play Florida the second game of the season down there after what happened to them last year. That will be a very interesting game.
Any question in your mind that Florida and Texas A&M for sure, and I'm going to throw Tennessee in there because they have to be better coached. Any question that you're going to see a better coached football team when the first game hits on those three programs?
And yeah, and it'll be pretty obvious. Okay, it'll be pretty obvious.
In this league, those three teams were not very well coached last year. In this league, I'm not saying they didn't have good coaches.
No, they weren't.
But they were not very well coached.
The Florida thing really caught me by surprise because, frankly, when I got down to Jacksonville to see them play Georgia, that team had pretty much quit. Well, no, look, they didn't pretty much quit. They did quit, okay? And I just never thought I would see that. And,
well, Tony,
and
you know,
as you mentioned, they
your record is your record, but Florida was 3-5, and as you said, they, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but Kentucky had that was an unbelievable ball game. Two touchdowns scored with only 10 men on the field. And then Tennessee, that's the one game in the league that Tennessee could have won. So their 3-5 record really was a worse record than 3-5 overall. That's why you feel like they got to get better on that. Last question, 6-2 LSU. They're the real puzzling question mark to me.
Yep.
Athletically, you look at them, you say they should be good, but we said that the last 3, 4, 5 years, and they've been just a little above average in this league.
It is a strange vibe when I went down there, Doug. I went down there for pro day and then sat down with Coach Orgeron in his office, and there's so much that's going on there. Everybody remembers they lost to Troy. And there were a couple of times when Coach Orgeron thought that his players might be packing it in, but the key was they came back the following week and won at Florida. Okay, if that had not happened, he said he didn't know, he's not sure what was going to. And then they beat Auburn, and so they got it back on the rails. The issue there, it's all about the offense, because they made a change at offensive coordinator because the head coach and the coordinator could not see eye to eye. They elevate Steve Ensminger, which was not a popular move at all. But Ed Orgeron told me, I trust Steve Ensminger. Now, he didn't say he didn't trust the other guy, but you draw your own conclusions. He said, now, don't forget when Ensminger was running it and I was the interim head coach, we were scoring 41 points a game. So they got to find a quarterback, and that's going to be an adventure. And they got to find a running back to replace Darius Geis. and they've got some, but I don't know if they got anybody like a Darius Geis.
Well, as we sit right now in early May, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, offensively is where it's all about. If those teams can be competitive or better on offense, they're going to have a chance to greatly improve on what they've been the last couple of years. So we'll see. Tony, you don't need any improvement, my friend. Thanks so much. Great to have you back, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Doug. Thanks a lot.
Mr. College Football, again, you can read him at TMG. What is that? TMGsports.com, I think, right? I'll get that when we come back here. Misplaced it somewhere. TMGcollegesports.com. That's Tony's website. You can catch it on that. As we go to break, let me talk to you about Franklin American Mortgage Company. Easy to talk about these folks. I know them, and I know them very, very well. They're the title sponsor of Big Orange Sunday. They're the title sponsor of High School Sports Saturday. And they're also a company that is still one of the fastest-growing mortgage companies in the country, but have that hometown feel. Why? Because they literally are from right here. The Franklin and Franklin American is Franklin, Tennessee. 25-plus years now of helping people start to get their first mortgage, to refinance another one, to just answer questions about the mortgage industry. That's what they do at Franklin American Mortgage Company. Yes, they're the title sponsor of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. Yes, they put tons of money back into this community and nonprofits, but what's important for you is a mortgage part of it. Give them a call, 615-778-1000. And remember, with Franklin American Mortgage, it all begins with home.
I love my community. And as a doting dad,
Daddy's home.
A devoted son.
There you are, Joe.
And a good neighbor.
Hey, man.
The people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door. But as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And no is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
This is Mike Keith with a hot tip for football fans. You don't have to miss a second of the action for a meal break. Just call Rafferty's and order one of their delicious party trays to feed the crowd. It's quick and easy, whether you're at home, partying with friends, even at the office. You can enjoy Rafferty's famous chicken fingers, club sandwiches, ribs, and much, much more. Just call ahead and pick up right in their carryout store. Your party trays will be ready when you get there for the whole crowd. That's Rafferty's, with locations across Tennessee.
Portland Systems Sports Saturday continues with Charles Davis, presented by Barry's Jewelry Company of Madison. Always online at barrysjewelryco.com.
Hole number 22 back with us today. We get all that NFL stuff out of his system and talk a little college football. Charles, you've had a pretty busy last couple of weeks. Kind of give us a little quick update on the draft leading up to it, and what I thought was just a great show put on by Arlington, Texas, and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, they put on a spectacular one, Coach, and that's no real surprise, you know. What do they say? Everything's bigger in Texas. Well, that was the draft this year, because they did it where they utilized their stadium. And, you know, at first they were talking about using their practice facility, Coach, in Frisco, Texas, which would have been a nice venue. You know, I think it seats 12,000, 13,000 for high school football or college football if they want to use it. But bottom line, putting it in the stadium, then having all the accessible areas outside, I think was a big, big win for the NFL, of course, and a big win for Dallas. I'm on record, Coach. Philadelphia did a spectacular job, and they should have gotten a second year in a row, in my humble opinion. But Dallas did a fine job as well, and I think we'll see it rotate from city to city from here on out, and that's just kind of the way it's going to be.
Nashville, the next 2 years are coming up. I think most people think that Cleveland is going to get next year because of the anniversary of the NFL and all that. But
Nashville.
I think it'll be an upset, Coach.
Do you really?
I think there'll be an upset there. I'm predicting an upset.
Interesting. Anyway, Nashville, one of the five cities finalists for that, and those things have already been made. All right, let's get into a little college football. I've asked Charles to kind of dig in, and we're going to discuss the transfer proposal that the American Football Coaches Association is working on right now. Now, keep this in mind. We're talking about the Coaches Association, the American Football Coaches Association. Todd Berry heads that up. We're not talking about the NCAA. We're talking about the American Football Coaches Association. And Charles, I don't think there's any question that the train of the transfer rule has left the station. It's just a matter of what the destination is going to be on that. But a proposal that they're putting out is this, which football coaches seemingly to me sounds like it may be a pretty good option, that to keep the rule the same, that if you leave early and if you don't go down in classification, in other words, if you go from a NCAA Division I program to another one, you have to sit out 1 year. But
yep.
But if you graduate from that school, that year that you had to give up, you get it back in eligibility. What do you see with that? Seems like a pretty good compromise way to go. What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing the downside, Coach, because we always talk about the insistence, and it's really big when we watch the NCAA basketball tournament because you hear the term student-athlete ad nauseum during that time. And I know my friend John Feinstein gets a kick out of that, you know, about how often you have to say student-athletes, and these student-athletes are here today, and here we are with the student-athletes. Well, if you're going to want the student-athlete term to really continue to be one that we should talk about, that's a great way of doing it. Incentivize them through the classroom. Incentivize them through not just, you know, going someplace else, but if you want to get something else for yourself, a chance to, if you are on the verge of being drafted, improve your draft stock. If you just want to play another year of college football and coach, you know, I was one of those guys that who knew if I'd be drafted or not, and it turned out I did not get drafted. But my option of playing another year of college football with my redshirt year was one I wasn't turning down. I mean, are you kidding me? It's another chance to play for my university and play in the SEC and maybe the last time I would ever do something like that. Those things are invaluable. And I know we get caught up in the mercenary side of it. Frankly, most of the discussion centers around what's going to happen with these kids if they're going to turn pro, not turn pro, this, that, and everything. Sometimes we forget the vast majority of us are not pros. We're not going to be pros. And a lot of them love playing the game and love having an extra chance. And if they can get a year back by doing it through the classroom, everybody wins.
The interesting part on this proposal is this, is that the early part of it, again, it hasn't been really researched outside of the American Football Coach Association. While I think it looks like almost all that have been addressed, that have been asked, almost all the football coaches behind it, there is a little bit of trepidation, a little uneasiness maybe with athletic departments and the other sports getting involved in this. And I guess the question would be on that, Charles, and I don't know that we know the answer, what would be the reason that the other sports wouldn't be behind this also? Now, some of these sports, like basketball, you know, that's you're going through two different semesters. You know, it's not just a one semester sport. Others are like that also. But where do you see the downside on this for the other sports, or are there downsides?
I think, and I'm trying to think along with them and trying to put on my old athletic administration hat days, Coach. I think that part of that is, remember with football, even though every scholarship is precious, it's a one-for-one deal, meaning if you give a scholarship in Division I-A, right, it has to be a full. There's no splitting them up. There's no breaking them out across the board. So, you know, if you're bringing them back, there's a spot for them or there's not a spot for them. You know what I mean? It's that sort of a deal. You make your way. I think for some of the other sports, they have to take X number of scholarships that they have, divide them up amongst more players than there are scholarships, and decide who's getting full, who's getting half, who's getting three quarters, and make all the formulas work. I think sometimes that becomes a real chore for them in recruiting, what they've promised people before. If this kid, you know, transfers in, I mean, I think there's some of that element that goes along with it. that makes it a little more difficult for some of the other sports. The only thing I can think of, too, Coach, is maybe a somewhat of an analogy. When the whole going pro, testing the water, can you come back to school argument, which has been around for a long time. We know that, right? Finally, basketball kind of pulled it in. It was really men's basketball, much more so. Obviously, women's basketball would be affected, but the WNBA, all that had not really kicked into full gear at the time, I don't believe. And if it had, it wasn't much of a major issue for them. The men's basketball side, it's a big one. Guys, hey, I want to test the water one day. So remember the compromise. Don't get an agent. Go through the camps, go through all the pre-testing, and if you decide not to, come on back to school. And I think it can go all the way through actual the draft. If you get drafted, not don't get drafted, hey, I can come back to school. A lot of that men's basketball coach, because I was working in that area then, boy, they were having a stroke. And it was mainly because, how do I recruit? What do I do? And this kid, he decides to go out. Okay, I've recruited to fill his spot. Oh, he's coming back. Now he's coming back. Is he coming back for the right reasons? Is he coming back feeling entitled? Will he work the way he did before? What's the chemistry of my program? You know, look, coaches are going to view things through a prism that's a little bit different than we are from the outside. From the outside, we're like, well, the kid's coming back to school. That's good. He did get a chance to go pro. He should be able to come back to school. And the coach is like, yeah, that sounds great. Now I got to deal with him. Is he coming back, as I said before? Is he going to come back and be the same team player we saw before? Is he going to be this? I think football's starting to feel this a little bit in a different area, meaning kids who decide not to go into the NFL and come back for their last year or whatever, are they going to play as hard? Are they going to feel entitled? Are they going to play to protect themselves? Are they going to play for my school? Clemson is going through that a little bit, even though they'll never talk about it. That whole defensive front coming back, they were all draft picks. A lot of them, if they play up to their capabilities next year, Coach, you could have that whole defensive front from Clemson go in the first two rounds. More than likely, you know, most of them in the first. It'll be interesting to see how that is handled, because you remember Jadeveon Clowney at South Carolina. He had to sit on being the number one pick. There's a lot that says maybe we didn't get everything we should have gotten out of him that last year at South Carolina, yet he still went number one overall. So it paid off for him, but did it pay off for South Carolina?
Interesting. You know, there are many coaches that will tell you that if head coaches that if you're thinking about going, you probably need to go ahead
and
go.
You got to go.
But
it's like retiring, isn't it, Coach?
Yeah, that's hard. It's hard.
Talk about retiring.
Well, that's a good point on that, too. So, Charles, as always, man, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Got about a minute and a half here. Take as long as you need, though. Did you have any surprises? Who is the surprise of the NFL draft for you, either plus or minus, good or bad, or was there one?
You know, I think we'd go to a million different ones. I think that Mayfield going at number one became less of a surprise because it became more and more evident that it was going to happen as we got closer to the draft. I think if we had said it a month out, most people would have scoffed at it and said, I don't see Cleveland pulling the trigger there. But it makes so much sense why they did. He fits the city in so many different ways. His mentality, his grit, his determination. Yeah, he's had some bumps along the way. But you know some blue-collar people know about bumps. They fight them every day. But if you're in there scrapping and fighting for their crew, they're with you. And so I think that was a little bit of one. I think at four, when they took Denzel Ward, not Bradley Chubb, the defensive player from North Carolina State, that was another one. But Cleveland had conviction on it. I think for me, Coach, I always come back to these kids who are in college, and I don't know every situation, but Cleveland, I was very surprised that they went back in the fourth round and took the receiver from Florida, Antonio Callaway, because he is a talent. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, but he's had so much off-the-field stuff that if I'm a GM running a room, he's not on my board. I'm not dealing with that, and I'm not bringing him into a receiver's room that I've got Josh Gordon, who's had multiple issues. I got Corey Coleman I'm trying to get right. And Jarvis Landry, who is a terrific leader, but if Jarvis doesn't get the ball, he's going to let you know about it, too. So whoever the wide receivers coach is in Cleveland probably deserves a raise right here and right now. So some, you know, I look at the Browns a lot. Their draft is what we call a boom or a bust. I think I'm leaning towards boom because I like a lot of what they had done. But that's a lot of what I saw. The rest of it, not too much. I would say that Richie James going so late from Middle Tennessee State, I thought he would go higher than what he did. But a lot of that was injury his last year. I think he's going to be a very productive pro. Really like what he did there. And we'll just see how it all goes.
Charles, thank you, buddy. Talk to you next week.
Hey, Coach, you take care of yourself. Talk to you soon.
Alan Cockrell will be up next. Going to ask Alan about Mookie Betts. Boy, what a year he's having right now from right out here at Overton High School right here in Nashville. Hey, how about Global Motorsports? They are the dealership for folks who simply don't like dealerships. Now, since I've got to know the folks out there, I've kind of, you know, I don't notice a whole lot of things anyway sometimes. But I have noticed the front, those front tags, license, not the license plate, but where the license plate goes there. How many Global Motorsports tags are out there? Maybe I'm just noticing a little bit more. There are a bunch of them out there. This is a dealership for folks who don't like dealerships. Very quick, you got one person. When you walk in the door, one person's going to meet you, and they're going to be there and handle every single thing before you walk out the door. No back and forth with managers. You don't have to wait around for a finance manager. You're going to have a great experience there. You can drive one car, 10 cars, all of them on the lot if you want to, by yourself. But once you've decided that, hey, this is what I want to do, 20 minutes later, you'll be walking out of there with your new vehicle. GlobalMotorsportsInc.com. Two locations here, one in Bellmead, the other out in Cool Springs. Find out all about them. Check them all out. Check out their stock at GlobalMotorsportsInc.com.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
You know, I think it's time for the talk.
I'm a little old for the talk.
No, I mean we'll be 65 soon, so let's talk about the costs not covered
by Medicare.
Yes.
And we don't want to be caught off guard, so we need Medicare supplements from someone trustworthy?
Yes. So now, when are we going to talk?
Well, I think we just did.
Have questions about Medicare supplements? See our videos at fbhealthplans.com or visit your local Farm Bureau office. Farm Bureau Health Plans. We've got you covered.
This is Forklift System Sports Saturday. Monday, join us for non-stop sports talk with the Wake Up Zone, Midday 180 and 3HL all day.
Welcome back into Forklift System Sports Saturday, your big lift at all their locations. Serve the big dog right here in Nashville, but also down in Huntsville and in Birmingham, down in Alabama, up in Kentucky, Bowling Green, Louisville, and right across the river into southern Indiana. Alan Cockrell joins us. Alan, I was looking at the, this is before the weekend started, but the top 25 in the coaches poll of college baseball. Florida number one, kind of looking down through there, three SEC teams in the top 10. And then the Pac-12, Stanford, Oregon State, UCLA. Oregon State, not a surprise there. UCLA, maybe not. But Stanford having a big year this year.
Stanford's a pretty good ball club. Generally, the Pac-12 schools are strong in pitching. Oregon State, they were a well-balanced club last year. They had a little problem at the end of the year with one of their pitchers, and that hurt them going into postseason. But generally, that Western style of baseball is real, real strong in pitching, and then get a guy on, bunt him over, and try to get a run. That style of baseball. But Stanford has some good arms. UCLA always has good arms.
We're going to talk about the SEC here in just a second, but a team that you brought up last week that I was unaware of, and they're about 60 miles from her, Tennessee Tech cracks the top 25, 37-6
overall, you, I think, watched that game against Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, midweek, right?
I did. I watched it a little bit. Tech can swing the bat. They're a fun fun ball club to watch because I'm an old hitting guy, so I prefer to see balls flying all over the ballpark than I do to see good pitching.
Seven teams out of the 14 teams Southeastern Conference in the top 25, the least ranked of those, probably not the least team, Vanderbilt, and kind of interesting there. It goes to show you the strength of this league. Two of those teams, seven teams, had 500 records in the league right now, 11 and 11. And Kentucky is actually ranked 13th. They're 10 and 12 overall and still ranked 13th in the country. Strong league again for the Southeastern Conference.
It's a really strong league. It's kind of like football, Coach. You know, they're all highly ranked, and then they play each other and they knock each other off. But the way it stands right now is there's a lot of 500 clubs with the exception of Florida and Arkansas, and then at the bottom end of that, you know, the probably six or seven, eight schools that are all around 500. It's going to be interesting the last 3 weeks of SEC play here. Tennessee is playing much, much better right now, having knocked off Kentucky's ace last night. They sit in a good position to win this series. They have Vanderbilt coming in the following week. And then they go to Missouri to end it up. But Tennessee is they're a good ball club, especially at home. They're 7-3 in SEC games at home, and five of those eight remaining SEC games are going to be played at Lindsey Nelson. So I see Vanderbilt possibly not playing real well right now. I see them as on the bubble to even get in the tournament.
I was going to talk about this later, but let's bring it up now since you brought up Tennessee. You mentioned either last week or the week before that for the Tennessee team, you really liked the way that their reliever, their late innings or mid relievers on were performing. And boy, that was front and center at Kentucky last night.
It was. They have found some guys that they feel like they can get outs from. Schultz is one, Benoit's one. Last night, Lingenfelter came in and relieved Will Heflin and pitched 5 2/3 innings, quality baseball. I mean, attacked the strike zone, pitched ahead, threw strikes with his breaking ball, threw the breaking ball for Chase, pitched really, really well, picked him up. The bad side of that is he threw 92 pitches, and my guess would be he would be done for the weekend. So you're going to need the Schultzes and the Benoits to step up the rest of the way. The bottom line with Tennessee right now is that they need starting pitching, and they want to get the ball into Garrett Crochet's hand at the end of the ball game. He's gone from a starter to a bullpen guy. It's easier for him because out of a relief role, you only need to have two pitches. As a starter, you need three, and his changeup I felt was lacking as a starter. But he's really thrived in this bullpen role. And last night, he got the last out or two of that ball game and just flat out dominated.
Ask Alan to somebody that's tearing up. I think would be a non baseball guy to say it. But talk a little bit about Mookie Betts. Of course, when you were with the Yankees, you certainly saw him front and center last year, and having I think leading the league in batting right now. What he's had five home runs in three games, three in one game. This is from a guy, Alan. We watched him play several sports here in Middle Tennessee. This guy looks like he weighs about a buck 60. Where's that pop come from?
Well, you know what? I tell you what he has. He has a really, really efficient lower half, which is basically where power comes from, drawing energy from the ground, and then it works its way up to the hands and the bat path. He has very, very quick hands and does a great job of staying behind the ball. You're right. I've seen a lot of that kid over the last 3 years. He's in his fourth full year of major league play right now. His first 2 years, he kind of flew under the radar a little bit because they had Big Poppy in that lineup, and he wasn't a guy that you really paid a lot of attention to. You had to make pitches to get him out, but he wasn't the main focus. Now he's the guy. he's the guy when you go to play the Boston Red Sox and you talk to any major league pitching coach, who's the guy that's not going to beat us? It's Mookie Betts. But he's matured a lot. He's understanding the strike zone a lot better, understanding the league and the pitchers a lot better, which is a big part of maturing it as a major league hitter. But this kid's nobody can throw a fastball by this kid. His hands are just extremely quick. He has very, very quick twitch movements in the swing, and he's now hammering the breaking balls that are left up on the plate that he should hit. I mean, shoot, this guy had 2-3 home run games in a month, and there's a lot of great big league hitters that have never hit 3 home runs in a game their entire career. He's the real deal.
I think what he either has 4 or 5 3 home run games in his career. I just read an article about it. It broke Ted Williams' record. Not a bad hitter.
He has 4. Yeah, he has 4 in his career.
Interesting on that. A good defender also. No?
You know, he can beat you in a lot of different ways. I mean, with his glove, obviously, he's a gold glove type guy. He can steal a base when everybody in the ballpark knows you need to steal a base. He can do that. And then obviously, we all know what he's doing with his bat, but he's a well-rounded. He's the full package when it comes to a Major League Baseball player.
Winding down here to the baseball season, and let's kind of talk Southeastern Conference, but we'll be talking really about all of them, the way that their managers are looking. What are these last few weeks? Okay, getting into the tournament is big, although there have been a few teams in the Southeastern Conference that have made the NCAA tournament without getting to the Southeastern Conference tournament. Very difficult to do. But what are managers looking at right now, coaches looking at right now, honing their team? The ones that are in, what are they trying to do right now? Pretty sure that they're going to be in. What are they looking towards to the tournament play? How do you reduce? What do you do with your squad as you get closer to tournament play?
Well, you know, I think the clubs that are in right now, they're probably going to get a pretty good feel for who they think they can rely on when you get into tournament play, especially with those out of your bullpen. When you get into tournament baseball, whether it's the SEC tournament or regional tournament, College World Series, pitching depth is absolutely critical to take you to where you want to be. So some schools will probably maybe reduce the number of pitches that their starters are throwing right now and get a little bit better feel for what they can do out of the bullpen, how you can mix and match. One guy maybe will get you one out, and then you know who can I go to in certain situations. But I do know that if you don't have depth, it's going to be hard to advance in tournament play. So the Kentuckys of the world, maybe even Arkansas at this point, they're probably going to try to figure out what guys they have in their bullpen and what role suits them and their team the best.
Got 1 minute, Alan. I wanted to go back here. Let's keep the Yankees out of this because that's who you worked with. The players, and you talked about the hitting part of it and how you enjoy that part of it for obvious reasons. Which player or two in the American League or maybe overall baseball do you really enjoy and admire the way they swing the bat and hit?
Well, in the American League, there's two that come to mind. Trout would be up there, and Betts would be the other. They're not just power guys, and they're not just slapping around the field and run guys. They're a combination of both, and in order to do that, you have to be extremely strong. You have to be extremely well-rounded in being able to get good pitches to hit and then battling and putting balls in play, you know, to hit for a high average and to hit for a lot of power is really hard to do. Both of those guys have that capability. They're not real high strikeout guys, which is kind of goes against the grain nowadays. I mean, in Major League Baseball, analytical people want home runs and they want walks. They want on-base percentage and they want the ball to fly out of the ballpark. And oftentimes when those two things become your priority, strikeouts are going to increase. But those two guys probably will have close to a 50-50 strikeout walk ratio, a 1-to-1 strikeout walk ratio. And they're going to drive the baseball. They're going to hit 30-plus homers. They're going to drive in 100. They're going to steal 20 to 30 bases, and they're going to play great defense. They both play, you know, primary positions on the other side of the ball on defense.
Interesting. Hey, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Big Orange Sunday about the University of Tennessee baseball program.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Doug.
All right, Alan Cockrell again. He's with us every Saturday. Talking NCAA and college baseball, and every Sunday looking at Big Orange baseball. As we go to break, let me talk to you about Stover's Liquidation. Of course, they've been up in Cookeville and up in Knoxville and Bristol many years. They've been in Antioch here for the last 4 or 5 years. StoverLiquidation.com. That's the place to go online and find out all about them. Spring is here, and that means it's a good time to get outside your home, grilling and relaxing. Great deals right now. Stover's Liquidation stock, they literally hundreds of truckloads of landscaping stones. Per block started at about 39 cents. Great deals there. They got a closeout buy on name brand mowers and tillers. You can shop early while the selection is best. Get over there right now. HVAC systems and stock save 40 to 50%. You got guns? Well, keep them and your family safe. $1,200 regular price, $699 at Stover's Liquidation. Of course, that treasure hunt continues to deliver great bargains right here in Antioch, Tennessee. StoverLiquidation.com. Check them out.
Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offer bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com or see them in any of their 5 Middle Tennessee or 3 Knoxville area locations. Plus, all locations have their own Facebook page and are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at ClintNewmanDDS.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for 4 generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford. Or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
This is Forklift Systems Sports Saturday. Tune in tomorrow at 8 as Doug hosts Big Orange Sunday, presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
Welcome back in. Got one more segment left here. Going to get into the University of Tennessee situation. Academically, athletic, and not the athletic part here in just a second. Let's get one quick phone call. Terry down in Franklin, a little question about the NCAA player transferring. Terry, what you got for us today?
Hey, Coach, just a quick thing. You may remember a few years ago, Northwestern players tried to form a union, and that was thrown out of court. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, why today would we try to pay players or let them transfer at will? If they don't have any legal power to force that kind of change, why does it seem like the NCAA is under pressure I mean, if you can't make me do something in court, then you can't make me do anything. Why are they so bothered by this pressure to give the players what they want?
Good question. Real quickly, the Northwestern situation, a little different from this standpoint, Terry, that was only concerned private universities. All right. Had nothing. Public universities were not a part of that. So it was only the private universities of Vanderbilt or Northwestern, you know, the Ivy Leagues, things like that. And the deal on that was it wasn't thrown out because of the reason it was it went to the fact about labor relations and other areas there. That it wasn't a simple situation of can we organize or can we not. Can we organize a quote union? That was the problem with that. And the reason I think you're going to see schools doing it is, frankly, there's going to be more and more bad PR on this thing for schools. The more and more money, you know, when you got coaches making $5, $6, $7, $10, $11 million and assistants making $1 million plus, I think it's going to get harder and harder from a PR way to defend it. And let me say this, there's nobody worse, in my opinion, of public relations than university athletic departments. I go back to what I said earlier in the show. There's not enough emphasis put on the education that you're getting. Some people poo-poo that, but the fact of the matter is, if you go there and do what you're supposed to do, I'll speak for myself, if you go there and you graduate, you can get an outstanding education for nothing. Well, for nothing, for no money out of your pocket. You certainly have to play. So that would be the way that I would kind of handle that. All right. I'm going to talk more about this when we come back. I'm off tomorrow. I'm going to be not going to be doing the show next week or the Sunday show next week. Tate will be handling those for me. I'll be back in 2 weeks. But just real quickly, and this is a topic that's not only if you're a Tennessee graduate, a Tennessee fan, if you live in the state of Tennessee, if you have children going to school here and possibly going to the University of Tennessee or other schools here, very interesting. Right now, at the University of Tennessee, academically, the people that the offices, the people that are running that university, you got a governor who's going to be out. He's just over. He's kind of the titular head of that. But the governor's out at the end of this year, be a new governor elected. The president of the University of Tennessee system is retiring. Most people think he will effectively be out of there by the end of the year. The chancellor was just fired by the president this past week. And the provost, who essentially does the running of the university at the behest of the chancellor, there's still an interim there the last 2 years. So your four, certainly your three top positions, plus the governor, all gone. How's that going to change? What's going to happen there? But here's the interesting thing. By most accounts of the people that I talk to, the university system in the state is running well, even at the University of Tennessee Knoxville, academic part, running well. Chattanooga really gets high marks down there. The chancellor down there and what Chattanooga's doing. UT Martin, the exact same thing there. If you happen to read, and again, I'll get into this more when I come back, but if you'll happen to, if you get a little time, read the termination letter, scathing termination letter that Dr. Joe DiPietro sent Dr. Beverly Davenport, informing her that she would be removed. Haven't read anything like that. When I was running a business, had to let a few people go. This was a scathing letter from someone who'd only been there a little over a year. Again, I'll talk more about that when I get back from a couple of weeks break here. All right, let's end the show as we always do. RJ Young, your innovative document solutions company. Hunter McCarty joins us. Hunter, going from digital. Transforming to digital, that seems to me like it could cause some problems. You have answers for those problems at RJ Young.
Well, Doug, we do. When we look at people that want to take large quantities of paper documents and they want to digitize those or put them in a digital format, sometimes people think about, well, I've got to run them through a copier, scanner, document feeder. But what we find, a lot of companies that just want to do scanning and they really don't want to have all the equipment they need to do other things like copy, print, or fax. And we furnish a line of Canon scanners that will allow them just to do nothing but scanning. And the advantage of these products are, first of all, they're less expensive. And secondly, they can handle a large quantity of paper. They can scan both sides of the sheet at the same time on duplex. And they also are very reliable and we find that they can take various sizes. So you may have a mismatch of paper where you have letter legal, maybe even 11 by 17. So the scanners are the answer many times to just scanning documents over into a digital format.
Well, scanners, from my perspective, the old faxes is not there anymore. I know this, my little piddling company I have. Well, scanning, there's a lot of documents that you can scan and transfer now, aren't there?
That is true. Most everything, of course, more and more companies are getting content in digital format that comes to them. But now we're finding a lot more companies are seeing that as they get paper documents, they do not want to hold those or store them. They just want to go ahead and scan them into digital format and then store that and then get really destroy the hard copy. So, yeah, we're seeing a very big push for that right now.
Hunter, thanks so much. Talk to you next week.
All right, Doug. Thank you.
Hunter McCarty, R.J. Young at rjyoung.com. Got a minute or so here. Let me just kind of build on what I was talking about at these universities. You know, one of the things that I've discovered from looking at, and I got about a minute here. I'll finish this up when I come back in a couple of weeks. But one of the things that I've discovered from digging into this is, you know, legislators, the University of Tennessee, State of Tennessee is a good example. They are have drastically reduced the amount of money, the percentage of the money, not the amount, the percentage that they're giving these universities, the University of Tennessee, an example, and I think others too. It is really forcing a lot of state universities to admit more out-of-state students. Why? Because of the out-of-state tuition is more. I was told this by someone close to Alabama's university system that now Alabama, the out-of-state students are more than 50%. There's more out-of-state students than in-state students. Tennessee's going through some of this simply because the tuition dollars are higher and the money that they're getting from the state, the percentage has gone down. Talk about that more in the future. Also talk about the Board of Trust realignment when we get back at the University of Tennessee also. Thanks to Jimmy Harper for producing the show. Of course, Tony, Charles, Allen. I'll be back in a couple of weeks to talk to you more about Big Orange Sunday and Forklift Systems Sports Saturday.